Hello, and welcome to the Community IT Innovators Technology Topics Podcast, where we discuss nonprofit technology, cybersecurity, tech project implementation, strategic planning, and nonprofit IT careers. Find us at communityit.com. Thank you for joining Community IT for this podcast, Part 1. Subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts and leave us a rating to help others find this leadership resource for nonprofits. Listen for Part 2 in your podcast feed.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining the Nonprofit Learning Lab for today's workshop. And without further ado, I will now hand it over to you, Matt and Carolyn.
Thanks, Tammy. Welcome, everyone, to the Community IT Innovators webinar on 10 free security tools for nonprofits. So today we're going to talk about the cybersecurity landscape and what the biggest risks are to nonprofits and nonprofit staff. And then we're going to talk about some free and low-cost investments you can make to increase your security. And we always try to explain any lingo we end up using. And today during the session, please ask if you don't understand any terminology, because that's what we're here for. Our learning objectives are that after this session, you should be able to describe the cybersecurity landscape for nonprofits, learn about cybersecurity readiness, review the 10 free security tools we're going to talk about, understand the role of executives and staff to manage basic security, even if you're not the IT person, and know where to go for additional resources on nonprofit security. And I want to remind everyone, Community IT is vendor agnostic. This presentation is to discuss how nonprofits are using common tools and what we are observing about them, but we don't recommend any tools in general. We only make recommendations to our clients based on specific business needs and their nonprofit culture.
Great. Thank you for that introduction, Carolyn. I'm happy to be joining you all today. My name is Matthew Eshelman, and I'm the Chief Technology Officer at Community IT. In my role as CTO, I'm responsible for not only the internal IT systems that we use to manage our 170 nonprofit clients, which supports about 6,000 staff, but also work with our nonprofit clients to help them develop their technology and cybersecurity strategy to ensure that their data is well protected. So looking forward to talking today about some free tools that organizations can take advantage of as it relates to cybersecurity.
Thanks. And my name is Carolyn Woodard. I'm in charge of outreach at Community IT, and I'm going to be helping Matt today and monitoring the chat. So I'm very excited to be sharing our expertise with you today. I think sometimes cybersecurity can be so daunting, it's tempting just to try not to think about it too much and just hope for the best. But Matt is going to show you today that there are some easy steps you can take to make your nonprofit much, much more protected. So it makes sense to start taking those steps now. So before we begin, if you're not familiar with Community IT, a little bit about us. We are a 100% employee-owned managed services provider. We provide outsourced IT support. We work exclusively with nonprofit organizations, and our mission is to help nonprofits accomplish their missions through the effective use of technology. We serve nonprofits across the U.S., and we've been doing this for over 20 years. We are technology experts, and we are consistently given the MSP 501 recognition for being a top MSP, which is an honor we received again in 2022. We have lots of free resources on our website, including videos, articles, and free downloads. We have a weekly podcast on technology topics, and we really just think that the more nonprofits learn about nonprofit IT, the better you can accomplish your mission. So now our agenda, we are going to be talking about the landscape, the cybersecurity landscape, talk a little bit about cybersecurity readiness, and then Matt is going to talk about the 10 free tools. And then we'll hope to leave some time at the end for Q&A.
Great. Well, thank you, Carolyn, for that introduction. As I mentioned, I think it's really helpful to understand the cybersecurity landscape that we kind of all operate in. Cybersecurity is important. The threats are not just something that happens to the big organizations that you read about in the paper, but cybersecurity concerns are important to every organization, no matter how big or how small. And I think it's important for everyone to kind of understand just kind of what's going on out there in the cyber space, in the cyber world. And one of the things that is happening quite a bit is that there are persistent and ongoing brute force attacks against your digital identity. I think nonprofits have done a great job of moving resources into the clouds. So that's Office 365 or maybe Google Workspace. And it's been really great to access that information from no matter where you are. But it also means the bad guys can too. And so we see evidence of lots of kind of ongoing attacks where the bad guys are just trying different username and password combinations and trying it again and again. So that's one area that we see a lot of attacks around are kind of your digital identity. We also see pretty sophisticated spear phishing attacks. And so spear phishing is a special type of email attack that combines some unique knowledge about you and your organization in order to get you to take some action. Click on a link, type a password, you know, open up an attachment, that sort of thing. And so some industry research says that, you know, as much as 91% of cyber attacks really start with email. And so we certainly see that in the nonprofit sector. I think another thing that nonprofits do a really good job of is they're very proud of their staff. And so many organizations have really great staff directories, you know, so, and it's easy for the bad guys to find email addresses, reporting structures, and all of that information ends up being used to craft those spear phishing messages. We also see that organizations are targeted because of the work that they do. This applies particularly for organizations that are in the policy space. So again, if you're government or government adjacent, you're very attractive to sophisticated hacking organizations because they want to know what's going on and who has access to government resources or may have access or influence to government officials. We also see attacks, you know, targeting organizations that are in family planning and health services as well. So, you know, it's important if you're in one of those maybe protected categories to have additional attention to your cybersecurity protections. And then attacks are also targeting vendors. So if you're a managed service provider like Community IT, we take extra care and caution because of the access that we have to our clients' data. If you're working with an IT vendor or an IT consultant, it's important to understand the cybersecurity controls that they have in place to protect access that they may have into your systems. Again, that's very, very appealing to these cyber actors to make sure that they can try to exploit one organization and then thereby gain access to many more. I will say it's not necessarily all bad news when it comes to the cyber landscape. I will say that there are lots of great security tools that are out there that can help protect and prevent some of these attacks from occurring. I'm also encouraged that we're seeing, you know, as compared to a few years ago, a lot of organizations are being really proactive about improving their cybersecurity. And so as somebody who's been talking about this topic for quite a while, I'm really encouraged to see so many organizations being proactive to say, hey, what can we do? What steps can we take to make sure that we're being as secure as possible, given the constraints that we have? It's, you know, even with that good news, I think there's still a long way to go. So N10 put out some information about the cybersecurity controls that organizations and nonprofits have, and they identified that even with this good momentum, about 68% of nonprofit organizations still haven't defined an incident response plan. And so that's just a document that describes what steps is an organization going to take, kind of if and when something bad happens to them. Access to a donor database is disclosed, maybe a ransomware attack, and just having that policy document in place. Because cyber attacks are expensive. While, you know, we see the $1 million damages in the news, you know, the cyber costs associated with a cyber attack for small organizations certainly isn't that large, but it can still be in the hundreds of thousands of dollars range, which can have a significant impact on a nonprofit organization. All right, so I've asked a bunch of questions and kind of talked a lot about Community IT. Now, here's your chance to respond. So what type of cyber threats have happened to you at your organization or maybe an organization that you are familiar with? Have you had a compromised email account? Have you been a victim of wire fraud or financial loss? You know, that's when, you know, information is kind of stolen from the organization. Have you been a victim of maybe those really sophisticated hackers that are interested in your work? Maybe you've been a victim of kind of ransomware attacks or crypto attacks. and or maybe you've been the lucky person that hasn't been involved in any of this. So we'll just take a moment here to let you respond to that poll.
And I think we also were going to ask people if they had something else happen to them and they felt comfortable just, you know, briefly saying what it was, they could drop that in the chat as well. Because sometimes they're just like off the wall things that happen that are also cyber related. All right, so I'm going to read the responses. About 60% said that you had a compromised email account. About 20% said that there had been some wire fraud or financial loss. Maybe somebody had gotten you to send money to that number, you know, bank number that wasn't the right bank number. About 40% have been a victim of ransomware or a virus or malware. And about 20% of you, hello, wonderful, haven't seen any incident or don't know anyone who has. So you can see 80% of the respondents just today said they have some familiarity with some kind of cyber attack.
Great. Well, thank you for sharing those results. And for those of you, the 20% that haven't, you know, the operative phrase that you hear in cybersecurity is it's not a question of if, but when. So again, with that mindset of, you know, maybe you've been lucky so far, but it's something that you could surely plan for. And so we'll talk about some of the tools and techniques that you can use to help provide some additional security for your organization. So when it comes to kind of cybersecurity readiness, I like to break things up into these top level categories, knowing that, you know, there are technologies or there are solutions that are people centric. And so those are things like your, you know, choosing good passwords or having your staff implement multi-factor authentication, right? Those are things that people, steps that your users can take to make your organization more secure. There's a lot of process around policy and training. I think those are absolutely critical. And so organizations can take those steps to have clearly articulated policies that really define how the organization approaches these different technology controls and make sure that that is well communicated. And then along with the process side, I would say that training is a very key piece. While there's lots of technology solutions, and we'll get into those, making sure that staff are educated, aware, and engaged is a really key part of cybersecurity. And the cybersecurity training is something that, again, there's lots of free solutions, there's lots of low-cost options out there to help improve and educate your staff. And then finally, you know, the technology tools. There's, you know, lots and lots of different options out there. It can be overwhelming at times, but we'll, you know, talk through some of the free tools that are available to help manage things like computer updates, some proactive scanning tools, and then also look at some tools related to email protection as well. And I would just highlight that Community IT has a free resource on our website that Carolyn maybe can chat out. It's our Cybersecurity Readiness for Nonprofits Playbook. And so that's a free guide that will provide some step-by-step instructions along with some budget information for organizations that are ready to take some additional steps to protect their organization.
Yep. So throughout today, I'll be putting some of the links in the chat. So hopefully you'll be able to see those and grab those there. And I love how you frame this, Matt. I know this is a somewhat common rubric, but the people, the process, and the technology. We're not going to jump right into the tools right away. I think first we're going to talk about people. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, first we'll talk about, you know, some things that are kind of human-centric or people-centric cybersecurity controls. You know, I'm the CTO, I've got technology in my job description, but I really think that these people controls are absolutely critical and provide a lot of value for organizations because, again, they don't cost much to do. You just need to get people to take those steps. And the one that we, you know, want to make sure that every organization has, and again, if you only take away one thing from the webinar today, it's that you should make sure that multi-factor authentication is enabled on definitely your primary IT systems, but any system that will support it, it should be enabled because password breaches are so common, because it's so easy to access resources from anywhere, the bad guys are kind of constantly trying different username and password combinations that they gather, and being able to implement multi-factor authentication, which combines something that you know, which is your password, along with something you have, which is often going to be an app on your smartphone, is a great way to put a big speed bump in front of those hackers who are trying to get into your account. So I think we've got some additional links and resources available to help support that process at your organization. There's some videos on our YouTube channel that walks through a step-by-step process if you've got Office 365 so that you can turn on that multi-factor authentication, or Google refers to it as two-step authentication. And that provides an incredible amount of protection. One of the things that we see at Community IT is lots of security incidents. And we can see from our data that none of the account compromises that we responded to last year had multi-factor authentication enabled. So we can really see from the data associated with supporting, you know, over 6,000 nonprofit staff that MFA is incredibly effective at stopping the bad guys from getting into your account. So MFA is our number one security control that you should have in place. It doesn't cost anything. It's included as part of all of those platforms and is not something you need to pay extra for. If you have Office 365, you have the ability to turn on multi-factor authentication. If you are a Google Workspace customer, you also have free access to multi-factor authentication. The next control is related to passwords. And again, passwords to all these systems, you know, I know myself, I probably have accounts at hundreds of different online services. You know, every place you go needs a different username and password. And keeping track of all of those is really complicated and can be a daunting task. So it's important to, I think, to make sure that you are using unique and complex passwords for every site that you need to access. And the reason is that there are password breaches that happen all the time. That's when maybe a hacker gets into a system and they are able to get a list of username and passwords associated with some certain web service. And then they take that information and, you know, maybe go from your, you know, kind of a shopping site or some kind of member site. And then they'll try those same credentials at your, you know, mobile phone provider or your Office 365 account. And so it's really important for every site that you access, then you create a new and unique password. There are some free tools that are available to help manage these passwords. So again, KeePass is one. That's a kind of a free open source tool that can be installed and used to manage credentials. I would also say that there are some, you know, built-in security tools in most browsers. Again, so if you, you know, Google or even Edge browser will now give you the ability to securely store passwords for websites. Again, from a security perspective, that is a good security tool to have and makes it easier to access those systems. Because if you can protect your main account with multi-factor authentication and then store all of those other credentials in that vault, that gives you a secure way to access multiple sites through the browser. And then if you're, you know, a Mac user, the actual, you know, Mac OS keychain is also a great secure enclave as a way to store passwords that can be then decrypted and used at the range of sites. So it's really important to make sure that you are using unique and different passwords at all the different sites that you have access to. And then for kind of a discounted option for organizations that are, you know, 501c3 nonprofits, there are also some discounted tools available through TechSoup. I believe Dashlane has a nonprofit kind of discount or donation program where you can access that tool and get a bit of a discount off of the regular list price because you're a nonprofit.
I know we get this question sometimes, Matt, but sometimes people are concerned about a free tool that's going to guard their passwords. Mm-hmm. So are those types of tools secure? Should you trust them?
Yeah, I think you need to certainly be skeptical of the tools that you use. I think particularly with, you know, a lot of the apps that end up being on the, you know, the App Store or the Google Play Store, there can be a lot of lookalikes that are appearing like they're legitimate software, but they're not. So again, it's important to kind of investigate what tools are there. And so that's why I would recommend, again, using the big names, again, like your browser, like the Keychain if you're in macOS. KeyPass, again, it's an open source tool. And so again, it has lots of eyes on it to make sure that that tool itself is very secure. So be careful, be skeptical, and just make sure that you're using a kind of well-regarded and kind of well-rated app for passwords.
And I think we always say that using like a free tool, a password manager, is so much better than reusing a password over and over in different places that it's just makes a huge difference.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
Okay, so I think the next thing we were going to talk about is, so we hit on people, and then our next three-tier rubric, we're going to talk a little bit about different processes that you can use and maybe some tools that will help you with the processes.
Mm-hmm. Great. So one of the tools that I wanted to highlight was a free resource. It's actually a government resource, so your tax dollars are already paying for this. It's free to use now, but it's stopthinkconnect.org. So that is a cybersecurity resource that the government has put together that provides a lot of, kind of free tips, tricks, some, basic trainings and overviews. And so if you're looking for somewhere to get started, this can be a great place. That can be a great place to get started. So that website is stopthinkconnect.org, and we can chat that out. So again, here you can see some of the basic tips that they outline to make sure that you are doing, again, from a process standpoint, keeping your computer up to date through automated software updates. Make sure everything that's connected to the internet is kind of as secure as possible, and be careful about plugging in external USB drives. So again, some basic advice that may seem like common sense, but is really good to just work on the fundamentals. Unfortunately, cybersecurity, the way that the attackers work is that they're really looking for the weakest link. And so again, if a system is not patched or not up to date, like that's the system that's going to get compromised. And so it's important for your organization to just make sure that you've got a good foundation, making sure all the basics are covered. Here we can also see that, there's a list of a technology checklist of all the systems. And so making sure that you've got a good system inventory, again, is a basic form of cybersecurity control. Just making sure that you understand as an organization, what are the different resources that we have in place, who has access to them, how are they updated, how are they managed? All of those elements go together to form some kind of good baseline cybersecurity controls. For the next resource, I'll also highlight some resources from an organization called SANS. As we talked earlier, one of the important pieces to get started with is around IT policy. And then the following question is, hey, where can I get those policy templates? And this is a great resource to get started with. So they've recently updated their site, I think has some new updated policy templates. So you can go to sans.org/information security policy. And they have a wide range of policy templates that are available from your foundational IT acceptable use, let's just set the baseline, to disaster recovery, to incident response, to data management, lots of policy documents that are available there that provide a framework, and then you can tailor and customize for your organization's unique requirements. Let's see, I'd also be remiss if I didn't highlight some of the free resources that we have at Community IT. I already talked about one, which is our nonprofit cybersecurity playbook. That gives you a roadmap, again, if you've already done all these basics, to really move into some next level cybersecurity controls. So that's a resource that is available. We have a great little nonprofit cybersecurity self-quiz that you can go through and check and see how your organization is doing against some baseline requirements. And then we have our monthly webinar series where there's quite a few cybersecurity topics that we talk about that can help provide you with some additional tools and education to ensure that you're staying up to date with the most current best practices. And then let's see, I'll also highlight that there is a free tool that we are gonna make available for folks that are attending this webinar. So this is a standards-based risk assessment tool from NIST. And so what that will do is, it takes about 30 to 45 minutes to go through to fill out the survey. And will generate a automated report with this, you know, pretty graphic that highlights what areas of cybersecurity are in the green and are good, and then what areas might be in the red. So you can see that this, you know, will provide some recommendations. The NIST cybersecurity framework, you know, highlights and prioritizes things like security awareness training, which we've talked about as well. And so it's a great resource, again, if you're looking to get some baseline understanding of, you know, what should our organization be focusing on, this is a great free tool. I think we have the link that we can chat out. You can drop an email and I will create access to this tool for you. And then you'll have access to the online portal where you can fill out this risk assessment tool, get an automated report, have a PDF download, and then dashboard access to this tool moving forward. So again, it's a really great resource, especially if you're trying to get started and figure out where to prioritize the cybersecurity investments for your organization. All right. Another, again, kind of under the kind of the process things, you know, we talked about passwords in the password manager section. And then this is a free resource that's available called Have It Been Pwned. And so this is put together by actually an Australian cybersecurity researcher. And so he has taken this kind of all these publicly disclosed password breaches, put them in a big database, and then you're able to go and search to see if any of the passwords that you use or an account that you use has been involved in a data breach or a compromise. And so again, that comes back to the good practice of having strong and unique passwords for all the different sites that you go to. You can go to this website, which is to haveibeenpwned.com. You can chat that out and check and see which of your accounts may have been involved in a data breach. Again, if you find an account, good practice, reset the password, see if you can enable multi-factor authentication.
Oh my God, I did this and there were like, I had this old Yahoo account from like years ago. I wasn't even using it anymore. And I guess Yahoo has been like hacked so many times. But yeah, I recommend this just for your, you know, personal emails that you use as well. It's good. And then you can go change the password on that and enable the multi-factor authentication as well. So yes, I have been busy on the sidelines chatting out these different links so people can grab them in the chat if you can see that. And if you want to get in touch with Matt to request that NIST risk assessment, that link is in there as well.
Thank you for joining Community IT for this podcast, part one. Subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts and leave us a rating to help others find this leadership resource for nonprofits. Listen for part two in your podcast feed. Community IT does these free webinars and podcasts for our community, and we love sharing our knowledge and experience. If you have more questions or are having trouble with your IT at your nonprofit, please get in touch with us on our website, www.communityit.com, so we can start a conversation or schedule an assessment. Downloading any of our free resources there will get you signed up for our webinar reminders, and you can attend our next webinar in real time and ask our experts your own questions. If you love podcasts, please subscribe and leave us a rating to help others find this leadership resource for nonprofits.